You're here for the first time today. We're ending an official six-week journey. We've been in small groups and a bunch of stuff today, at least ending the weekend portion of it. And one of the things, and it's been on freedom, one of the things that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10 is, freely have you received, there's that word again, freely have you received, freely give. And so if you're newer today, we only expect and hope for you to receive today, but if you've been around and you understand what's happening here, helping people get free inside of this room, across the city, South Africa, India, all over the globe, this is one of the reasons why we freely give, so I encourage you to do that. And getting ready for that, I want to invite up Jenny Baker, who is on staff heading up community groups, and let's welcome Jenny up here. And Jenny, you know, this is the first time ever in my life this weekend where I've had a t-shirt on over long sleeves. I feel very awkward, but I guess it's what the cool kids do because you're doing it.
That's right. Welcome to the Cool Kids Club.
Yes.
First time.
Good to be here finally.
Years. Right. Glad you've arrived. Well, I know for me, this free journey, just these past 6 weeks, have just kind of started cracking open this shell of freedom for me. And so I feel like I'm like right on the edge of that cliff of experiencing freedom. And like I know for a lot of us, just busy schedules and other things kind of get in our way of continuing on this journey. But I know God's like, no, just take that one more step. Like, I want this for you. I want you to grow. And so a lot of us are like, well, how do I keep doing that? A way that we can keep doing that is in an environment called community groups. Community groups are phenomenal opportunities to come together with other people here in our community, talk about a specific topic, and then process together, learn what God has to say about that topic together. We've got 54 groups in 3 locations, so there is a group for everybody. You can check it out on crossroads.net. Look in your program, pick up a handy program. All the groups are listed in the program. Or you can head out to the info center after the service to register and find out more about these groups.
Now, as part of the free journey for you, I mean, this jewelry that's stuck in your nostril here, what is all that about?
Yeah, like God, I got a nose ring, and God loves my nose ring. Like, even though other people may not dig, you know, this, and that kept me from doing that for a long time, I was like, hey, God loves me and accepts me even with a bedazzled nose. Take a nose ring. Anyways, yeah, but
fired, by the way. We can't have that on staff members. Just verifying it, because I'm
right.
Kidding. Yeah, go ahead, keep going.
But tattoos are okay.
Yeah, they are,
right.
Definitely.
Okay, so I just want to talk about 2 specific groups that are really great follow-ups to this journey. The first one is Free to Forgive. I know that a lot of us operate out of some wounds and pain that we have from our past that maybe have happened because of another person. And so we're trying to walk out this forgiveness thing in our lives, and sometimes it's just really hard to get through that. So if you want to learn more about what it looks like to forgive somebody and how that actually leads to freedom, definitely check out that group. Another group is called Running Freely, and this is going to dive into things like performance, approval, addiction, shame, guilt. So if there are some things that have come out in this journey and you're like, man, I know I shouldn't be experiencing guilt around this, but I'm just not sure how to get out of that, you might want to check out the Running Freely group. So community groups, awesome. The next thing that's coming out of our free journey are baptisms. This is one of my absolute favorite things that we do around here, because this is where a lot of us get to stand up and take a stand and say, yes, this is what I'm going to trend my life around. I'm saying yes to Jesus, and we get to share it with our friends and family. And so if you're interested in understanding why we do baptism, what it is, should you wear a polka dot bikini under a white t-shirt for baptisms, which you should not at all, you might want to check out our baptism info session. That is April 18th from 1 to 2:30. So all your questions about baptism answered then. Logistically, though, next weekend is Easter, and so we're expecting tons of people for Easter. So you can help us out a little bit, because we want to make a lot of room for friends and family who may not have been able to experience Crossroads before. So we're adding a third Saturday service next weekend for 1 weekend only. We'll have 3 services on Saturday, and Saturday church counts. It counts for those
does,
of you
yes.
who, yeah, struggle yeah. with religion. So you can help us out.
Yes.
Right. Now I'm really fired.
Yeah. No, you're good. You're doing well now. Keep going.
So check out Saturday services, or even think about coming to the 8:30 on Sunday service. Again, help us make up.
Yeah, if you haven't noticed, it's pretty crowded in here and at 10 o'clock. And you know, we've established a long time ago, but sometimes we need to remind it, God loves people more who don't come to 11:45 and 10 o'clock service. Actually, word has it there might be a plague circulating in this room at 11:45 next week, so you might want to think about coming someplace different.
And don't drink the coffee if you do.
Yeah.
And if you live near, around, by, close to Mason, please go to Crossroads Mason. It's awesome. It's fantastic. And those are your neighbors. And so, again, you can clear up space here by going to Mason next weekend. So that's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Jenny. Good. All weekend, thanks. Good stuff. Great job. All right. Yeah, I am wearing this T-shirt somebody gave us to me a couple days ago, and, you know, it's orange, so I thought it'd be appropriate. And as I went through the prayer experience recently, I realized that's one of the ways or times when I feel free when I'm on a motorcycle. Doesn't matter what kind it is, I feel free. How many of us have experienced already the prayer journey, the prayer experience? Amazing, amazing, amazing stuff. One of the stations of it, I asked the guys to kind of tear off a piece of it, were prayers of thankfulness and gratitude that people were writing. Some of these really wild. Thank you for your son Jesus and for your word. Thank you for opening my mind and heart that I can see your love everywhere in everything, always. How about this one? I am thankful that I no longer want to die. God, during these turbulent financial times, you have never left me. I try and trust you, but get frustrated not being included in your plan. I surrender. You fed me, clothed me, housed me. Very, very profound things have been taking place. You can still do that. It's open through tomorrow night. And I want to kind of encapsulate some learnings that we've had over the last 6 weeks. I know we have a small group still to go and some stuff in your journals. But I want to talk about some things that encapsulate things we've looked at and also our marching orders as we go forward. You know, this journey to be free, to be content regardless of what the circumstances are, to be joyful regardless of what the circumstances are, to feel God breathing wind on our sails and want the most of us is a journey that never, ever ends. In fact, common to the pursuit of man's struggle has been finding freedom. All throughout the Bible, we see this taking place. The book of Galatians, where I'm going to look at that today, it's all a story of a group of people that have been deluded into not being free, and they need to reclaim and recapture their freedom. Some of us have memorized Galatians 1:10 in out of this book, which says, it is great to please God. Don't try to please men, but please God. You know, when I try to please men and women, I have too many masters. It's too confusing. It's bondage. But when I focus on God, say, God, I want to please you, I am free. I am free from playing politics and doing polls on who's going to like this and who's going to like that. The book of Galatians is full of this. What's happened is there's a bunch of people who've newly come to understand Jesus as Messiah. And as we looked at several weeks ago, they've actually become tethered to Jesus. All of us are enslaved to something. Everybody is. The question is whether or not you're enslaved to something that is giving you freedom. And Jesus invites us to be his slave in that we can be tethered to him, and that tension will enable us to soar. He's the only person that you can tie yourself to, be tethered to, who wants you to be free and will enable you to be free. And so there's a bunch of people who have received Jesus as the Messiah, who have tethered themselves to him, and now a bunch of people are coming to them and saying, you really can't do this. You're getting a little too freaky out there. You're losing your way. It says this in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for morality that Christ has set us free. It's not for religion that Christ has set us free. It's not for the American way that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Stand firm. Stand up. Stiffen your spine. In other words, what's being said here is continue the journey. Freedom is a continuing journey. It never ends. There's always new layers of blessings, new layers of freedom. And so what's happened to these people is they are being deluded. They are being told that now you have to take on all these regulations, do this and that. No. Stand firm. I was thinking about this last week. I came in and one of the services and with some family members, and I was really knocked over by God. I don't think Chuck said it or anybody specifically said it, but it dawned on me I believe by God's grace it's dawned on me that, Brian, I'm afraid that God is going to abandon me. He's going to leave me. Now, I realize this is not the truth. I would pass that theological true-false test. I know that's not true, but I noticed, wow, this has been a subliminal feeling and fear that I've had. See, I wrote a book on this stuff, but yet I'm continuing to capture more freedom and grow in this journey. And as I grow in this journey, as I go forward, I need to choose according to freedom. Make choices according to freedom. It's not just that I have been set free, but what choices can I make in order to be free? Choose according to freedom. I should have a little oath. There it is. Choose according to freedom. You know, if you're dating right now, you should be asking yourself, is the person I'm dating, are they about my freedom? You know, it might make you feel good for very short periods of time, but are they ultimately pushing you on to freedom? The places where we take a vacation, are we choosing vacation spots or time off? Are we becoming free? Some of us, when we take a vacation, we need a vacation to recover from our vacation. It wears us out. It doesn't really breathe air into us, put life into us. In terms of the job that we have, some of us are in a job right now, and it is not making you free. Maybe it would make somebody else free, but it's not making you free. I've been reading a book called Soulcraft of Shop Class. Fascinating book by a guy who has a PhD from an Ivy League university, went to head up a Washington think tank, and then quit and has become a motorcycle mechanic. Because he realized this knowledge work, working with his mind, not doing anything tactile or tangible for him, was bonded. And so he feels free when he tinkers and fixes motorcycles. I know for me, I'm one of the people who is in a vocation, in a career where I feel free. But yet even in here, as much as I can, I structure the organization in which I work to enable me to be free. Not all of us can do this, but I can do this to a fair degree. It's one of the reasons why I'm committed to continually developing new teachers here at Crossroads. And while you'll periodically see new people, and you might see somebody or hear somebody go, oh, well, that's not as good as whatever, first of all, somebody else besides you might totally disagree. Secondly, I just tell you, it is bondage and a burden for me to be expected to have quality, interesting, intriguing things every week for 35 minutes. Can't do it. It is bondage. So I am free to figure out how to get other people to do that kind of thing and structuring things in the organizational dynamics that enable me to be free. See, there's not always a right, wrong answer. Some things there are, like God has a top 10 list saying, don't steal. There's always a right, wrong on that. Don't take the baseball cards at the grocery store for nothing, like I did when I was a little kid. There's always a right, wrong answer to that, but oftentimes there isn't. One author says this, you and I are free. We are not in bondage to figure out the one thing God wants us to do. If we view good options as possibilities that we're free to choose, life becomes more adventuresome and less burdensome. This is one of the more profound thinkers of our time, actually. It comes out of this book called Free Book. that's supposed to be funny. And if you read this book, you know, I don't get a dime from anything I write. Doesn't help me financially at all. But I do put this up here to say that the 80% of the content in this book we haven't touched on. They're all during the series. So if you want to go further, you can take a look at that. But I want to choose according to what makes me free, because that is the kind of things that God would applaud. Galatians 5:7, we see some more things about what freedom may mean. It says this, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. So you had these Jews who received Jesus as the Messiah, and then you got a bunch of other Jews who also had as well, but some of these Jews were thinking and saying, you know what, it's not good enough to receive Jesus and walk freely in him. All these Old Testament regulations and laws, you need to do those too. So if you're 40 years old and you haven't been circumcised, time to go under the knife. And you know, if you like bacon and you like shrimp, too bad. No more bacon wrapped shrimp. You can't have that. Violate no more this. And these people came to be known as the Judaizers. The people who didn't allow people to be free in relationship with Jesus, but said, okay, all these external things that were okay for a season and time, but were to end, you got to do all these things. And that's why the apostle Paul is saying, who cut in on you? You were doing well. You were on the journey well. You were operating. Who cut in on you? Who cut in line? Who put you down? Where did you get these stupid ideas from? I would say this, stay away from people who ungrace you. Stay away from people who ungrace you. You might have never heard that term, but it's pretty self-explanatory. You probably know exactly who I'm talking about if you've got people in your life. This doesn't mean people who have problems in your life. This means people perhaps that you're building into, but they're also teachable. But there are some people that for whatever reason is, they're not growing, and they will ungrace you. They will put you back in your old place of bondage. They will be threatened if you go places that they haven't gone. They will think that something is not right. Be very careful of people who ungrace you. You know, some of the people who have graced us, who have built into us, grace is when we receive blessings that we haven't worked for. It's a thing that God gives us that is independent of our efforts. And there's some people who have given to us without us working for it at all. It's the people who have really done the lion's share work of making the journey happen, making the guide, putting the guide together. Here's actually who these people are who have graced us. These are some of the main people right here. Look at some of the glamour shots with some of those people. Like some of those people, like Steve Emmanuel, looking cute up there. Look at him. So, hey, let's thank these people who've graced us this over this journey. These people have been behind the scenes, have done a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal job. And then another thing and final thing I'll just give you in terms of things to think through today on this message portion is beware of freedom that looks like freedom, but it really isn't. There's a thing that's called licentiousness, which means giving license or giving approval to anything. And it says this in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 13. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Not called to be moral, not called to be American, not called to be Democrat, not called to be Republican, not called to be responsible, not called to be nice. You are called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Now, I haven't talked much about this journey, because we wanted to overweight the freedom message. But oftentimes, in the truth of God, there is tension in two dynamics, seemingly polar opposite, but in the midst of that tension is where truth resides. I think of it like a guitar string. For a guitar string or a piano string to put off a beautiful note, there must be tension on either side. If there's not tension, there won't be a beautiful note. And there is this tension of God wanting us to be free and at the same time, God understanding how our life operates, God having standards for our benefit. There are absolute rights and wrongs. And for me to be free, I must understand that there is such a thing as false freedom, which is, if I feel it, I'll do it. It looks like that'd be a hard thing to do, so therefore I'm not going to do it. God wants me to be free. Marriage is a little bit more difficult than I thought. Well, that's right, I'll be free and get a divorce. I'm a little tight in finances. I understand people have needs, but I can't really give to them because I need to be free and take care of myself because that's what feels good to me. There's just somebody who I know needs a word of truth given to them, but boy, it'd be uncomfortable for me, so I wouldn't feel free doing that. So, no. Beware of false freedom. To be free means we must have all of God, all of Him, including some of those things on the front end which may seem distasteful to us. It may be actually hard. Speaking of taste, how's that for a transition? Speaking of taste, Jesus got together and had a meal with his friends on numerous times. And there was his last meal, which has come to be known as the Last Supper, which we are going to celebrate right now. We looked a few weeks ago at one of the central physical freedom stories in the Bible where the nation of Israel was freed from the nation of Egypt. And we looked at the blahs, the break when they took off, the blues, the in-between grieving time when they weren't feeling the final four stage, the blessings. And one of the things that happened was a really profound story that still to this day is something that the Jews and even some Christ followers celebrate even to this day. Right before the nation of Israel broke, there needed to be something dramatic because Pharaoh, as the head of Egypt, was having a hardened heart and was not listening to God and was not giving people freedom, the slaves of the nation of Israel, freedom. So God kept allowing him to see miracles after miracles, and yet he wouldn't respond. And some of us have been that way, actually. There's been miracles that we've seen, and we're still not responding. And so finally, the final thing that happens is the most intense thing. God tells Moses to go and tell all the nation of Israel to, for each household to kill a lamb and to take the blood of that lamb and put it above the door and on the sides of the door. And then what takes place is the angel of the Lord, or in this situation also known as the angel of death, the angel of the Lord goes about the entire land, and wherever he doesn't see the blood of a lamb over a door, he goes into that house and takes out the firstborn son of every household. And of course, all the nation of Israel preserves their firstborn son, and every household in Egypt has their firstborn that night taken out. Pharaoh is obviously racked with guilt, with pain, with remorse. He loses his firstborn. And so what he does is he tells Moses, that's it, get out of here right now. Leave, leave, leave. And they get up and they leave. And one of the first things they do when they get into freedom is they celebrate a festival that they still celebrate today. It's called the Passover. The Passover is when God passed over people. When God could have brought judgment, he could have brought condemnation, but he passes over. And so Jesus, as a good Jew, and all of his friends who are good Jews, sits down to celebrate the Passover meal, and we see an amazing twist here. Here's what it says in the book of Luke, chapter 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Now, the disciples did not fully understand what was going on here, what he was saying, but we can now realize, looking back, exactly what Jesus was saying. They didn't even realize, at least all of them, one of them did, that he was about ready to be arrested. He gets arrested, he is tortured, he is crucified, he dies, all of this happens, and this is his last meal. And he says, "I'm excited to have this Passover meal with you before I suffer." And what we now know looking back on it was this. Jesus was the lamb that was going to suffer so that I and you don't need to suffer. He is the one, the firstborn of all creation. He is the firstborn who is slayed, who is killed. And as the blood runs down a wooden cross, so there was generations ago blood on the wooden doorposts. And bloods can still be on you and in you so that God's judgment and condemnation never comes your way. It passes over you and you can be free from the fear of condemnation. As Romans says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he continues and says, and he took the bread, he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to them saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup saying, "This cup is the new covenant." There was an old covenant before. This is now a new one. There's always a shedding of blood for a covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Jesus encourages us to continually have this act of remembrance, this act of celebration, whenever two people who have been marked by Jesus' death, whenever there's two people who have been tethered to him, who become willingly a slave of Jesus who is about their freedom, to remember this. We don't do this all that often here on the weekends at Crossroads for a variety of reasons I won't get into, but I would just say this. You can have communion anytime you are somebody else who has been tethered to Jesus. You can have communion when you're at Subway having a ham sandwich and a Diet Coke. It's not about mystical, magical elements. It's about a cognizant ability to say, "I remember Jesus right now. We remember Jesus. We remember what he's done. And we want to celebrate him and remember him right now. In a moment, you'll have the ability to do this. You can come forward, and we'll have people stationed here and at the backs of all the balconies. Come forward, you can grab a piece of bread signifying the body of Jesus, and you can dip it in either a wine glass, which is a wine glass with a little cork on it, or juice, either one works. You can dip it in, you'll have a blessing uttered over you, and then you will have a moment of remembrance for how Jesus has freed you from condemnation. Jesus has freed you from the need to perform because he already performed for you. At the same time, when this happens, we'll have the ability to mark the moment by taking something tangible with us. Whenever we have communion, we take something into us and we have a moment of remembrance. But we also want to give you something if you want to have it with you for a longer period of time, you can do that too. We're going to give you kite string. You can wrap that around your wrist and tie it, and you can remind yourself that I am tethered to Jesus. I'm walking and I am tethered. And you also find too that when you get that string, you're going to have to find somebody else to help you put it on. I tried to put it on myself yesterday. I'm going, I'm trying to get it on. Like, but it doesn't work. And freedom, I'm reminded that we need other people in order to be free. Now, some of us in here are still trying to figure out if we believe that Jesus is actually God, if we believe that he actually has died for us, if we actually want to be tethered to him. And we are excited for you. We're excited you're here. You're why we started Crossroads. And at the same time, I would say, it's not a good idea for you to come forward and do this. There'll be people going all throughout the room, some people standing, some people sitting, some people delaying. So we'll have no idea where you are in your spiritual journey. But I just encourage you to not do this because you haven't done what this is representing. You have not consumed and marked Jesus into your life. It's not that your grace isn't upon you or not that God doesn't love you, but it is that this doesn't symbolize you tethering yourself and receiving Jesus' blood on your life. And so I just encourage you to sit here and process that through. Now, maybe today you want to receive and tether yourself for the first time, in which case this would be your first communion. You can receive this now or at any time. Some people call this the Lord's Supper because it's where Jesus had dinner that's referred to in the Bible. Some people call this the Last Supper, because it was the last supper that he had before he died. Some people call this communion because we are communing with each other and communing with Jesus at the same time. Some people call this the mass because the elements represents the mass, the physical mass of who Jesus is, his body, his flesh, his blood. Some people call this the Eucharist because this comes from a Greek word meaning thankfulness. Jürgen Moltmann, who actually is a profound thinker, an older theologian, says this: freedom needs more than to be realized, it must be celebrated. So as we do this, or if you do this, this is not a time where we come forward, oh, I'm long, I'm depressed, woe is me, I'll do the nice religious thing, thank you, I'll go back to depressed and somber. No, today we celebrate. We celebrate. This is what Jesus said to do, to celebrate. Remember him. I don't remember Jesus in depression. I remember Jesus pouring his life out of sacrifice. I remember him blessing, building into, giving grace. And so we come here today, we celebrate. We celebrate this. Yet sometimes we say we celebrate this, but we're always depressed. You should be depressed when you celebrate. We celebrate this because we remember, we are receiving, and we are renewing our passion for Jesus and the freedom that only he offers. So I encourage and invite all the people right now to come down who are serving at all the different stations. Go ahead and take your place. As we do this, you can get in line immediately. You can wait to get in line. You can stand. You can sit. Please go back to your seat afterwards because we've got something else we're doing. This is a time for you to enjoy freedom and to see if God gives you a final 5% today. So God, I pray that you would do a gracious thing for all of us here. We want to celebrate, but yet we are heavy. We're still downtrodden. God, would you come and lift? Lift the load. Lift it. Take us to new places. God, I thank you for your master plan that is seen throughout the scriptures and throughout the life of Jesus. couple of more thoughts for you. Here's one. You know, I went into the that prayer experience, and I intentionally keep myself in the dark during these journeys so I can experience things real time. So I had no idea what to expect when I went in. And I went into that room where those gifts were, and I just stood. It was sort of like I just got bowled over by something. I couldn't even go into the room when I saw the gifts. I had to sit there and stake it in. And I went in and I sat down, and I just struggled so much, because even though God's given me so much, and I have way more than I ever expected, deserved, and I enjoy everything God gives, it's still hard for me to receive. And I sat there, and I finally picked out a box. I went up and pulled off a box, went down, sat, opened up. And honestly, if I had asked for something, yet I couldn't have been smart enough to ask for what I really need, it would have been the exact thing that was in that box. How many of us who did that? It was a mystical thing, the thing that we pulled off. Gosh, I am telling you, God knows exactly where you are right now. He knows exactly where you are. And He gives gifts. He's not asking you to work harder. He's not asking you to buck up. He's not asking you to configure your life in such a way until He will give you grace. There are gifts that are there. But at the same time, when gifts are there, we must get up and go and get and receive those gifts. I got out of there. I left and I went on to the other things, and I was reflecting on that, and all of a sudden I realized, what? I only took one gift. They never said I couldn't have more than one gift. I only had one more gift, so I went again, because I want to go in there and get every stinking gift I could get. And I'm just telling you right now, I want to. God is about your freedom. He wants you to receive. There are gifts for you that are wrapped, placed right in front of you, but you must open it to receive all that is there. There is a God who wants the best for you. He's not holding out on you. God, where you leave, the great gift-giving God, we follow. Make us free.